Dear friends, I am making this tape for you in order to bring you a little bit closer to the synagogue and some of the matters we discussed during the sermons. We hope you will understand that a great deal of the spontaneity of the actual delivery of the sermons has to be lost in its reproduction on tape, since we can't actually tape the sermons in the synagogue, and must do so after the Sabbath or the holiday upon which they were delivered. This tape is yours together with our best wishes for better health in the future. If you have any comments or criticisms or suggestions, please let me know by simply calling me at 838-3113. Now, the first sermon I'm going to put on tape is the one that I delivered at Shmini Atzeres of 1981 on October 16th. Dear friend, this week we lost Moshe Dayan, warrior, statesman, peace seeker, historian, archaeologist, lover of Israel and its people. He willed that there be no eulogies at his funeral, and he died on Sukkot when no eulogies are offered. Now he belongs to history. In the Isker service that will follow, we will pray for our people's martyrs. With that prayer, we will also include a memorial for all those who died defending the land of Israel. Dayan lived defending the land of Israel. Now in his death he is one of its heroes. He shall remain so. I believe that it is appropriate to dedicate this Yisker sermon to his memory, not to the memory of his deeds, his heroism, his strategy, his characteristics, his nature, his personality, but to the memory of certain ideals that he held, which demonstrate the inner core of Jewish faith, even in a man who outwardly claimed not to be religious. Ideals which prompted him to say, "More than Jerusalem and Hebron are ours, we spiritually belong to them." Or to say, "We fought well in the Six-Day War, not because we had the sea at our backs, but because we had the future ahead of us. It was faith in the future and not lack of alternative that gave us wings in the Six-Day War." Ideals that prompted him to answer Geula Cohen's criticism when she said, "You sound so terribly Jewish," by saying, "You'd be surprised, Geula, how it is no small matter to be a Jew." And ideals that prompted him to reject the move to draft yeshiva students into the Israeli army, saying, "The army will probably be the same with them or without them, but the Jewish people will not be the same without them learning Torah. Learning Torah like Rabbi Akiva did, for whom his wife sold her hair so that he should continue to learn. Why, that's basic to our tradition. I am not religious, but there are today young men who aptly fit Bialik's description when he wrote, 'What are you, O rock, and what are you, O stone, compared to the steadfastness of the Jewish youth who studies Torah?' I would not compel them to serve in the army. And this did not begin with me, but with Yochanan ben Zakkai and Akiva and the exile and the Inquisition. And I will not lay a hand to uproot something so basic." A man of this stature deserves to be quoted at Yisker. So I shall use as my text today the very same words upon which he based an address to the Israeli Army's Staff College graduating class. Briefly told, Dayan declared the following. "The most important question for Jews is, 'Mayihyeh?' What will be? Not what will be the end, Mayasof. There is no such thing as the end. There is the direction. There is the passage, the journey. The question, what will next come to pass? What will be? Mayihye. This is a Jewish question that began with Abraham. He was told by God that the land of Israel would be his. But Israel was then held by 10 powerful nations. And he was alone. Oh, he had a demographic problem, all right. And he was 85 years old, and he was still childless. And so he lifted his eyes to heaven, and he asked the Jewish question, what will be? And the Lord of hosts, creator of heaven and earth, answered his question with one phrase, Al tira Avram, be not afraid, my servant Abraham. Isaac, troubled by his neighbors, insecure, persecuted, asked the same question. And to him also did the Lord appear in a dream of the night and said, I am the Lord of your father Abraham, be not afraid. This reply, be not afraid, has become the motto of our people in the form in which we connected with Jacob, Al tira avdi Yaakov, be not afraid, O my servant Jacob. The question shows our concern for the Jewish future. This concern is expressed in two ways. We are concerned for the physical safety of every individual Jew, such as the Jews who still live and suffer in Iraq. And we are concerned for the spiritual survival of the Jewish group, for the spiritual future of Judaism, just as we are concerned for the fifth of our people who live in the Soviet Union and its satellites today. In all of history, every Jewish gathering and every Jewish soul was required to be concerned with these two challenges. How will Jews survive in safety? And how will Judaism survive intact? That is the question of Jewish destiny. Ma yihye, what will be the future? And the answer was given to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, be not afraid. Now the answer does not mean, don't worry, I, the Lord, will solve your problems. It means, you, Jacob, are my servant, and as my servant, you are not permitted to be afraid. It means that you are destined to continue to struggle in a never-ending battle for Jewish safety and for Judaism's survival. The only answer you may give to the question, what will be, is that in the future it will be that we will continue the struggle. That is the basic and the only answer to this central question. We will continue to prepare ourselves physically and spiritually for the struggle for Jewish survival, a struggle that shall not end, but will continue into the future. Now we can understand the meaning of Al tira, be not afraid. It means, Jacob, you have a destiny. That destiny is to face an eternal challenge, an eternal struggle. You are forbidden to shirk or shrink from it. You're forbidden to be afraid. You, if you are not afraid, can even wage this war without weapons, even without money, even with few people, provided you keep your faith in God and your courageous heart. This, said Dayan, is the commandment given to Abraham the first Jew, to Isaac who came after him, and to Jacob who became the people of Israel. The two weapons given to us, faith and the commandment not to be faint-hearted, have shielded us for 4,000 years. Dayan then proceeded to describe an incident that took place in an archaeological excavation in the valley of Bet-Sha'an. He said, I stumbled across a skeleton which we dug up and found that it was holding a bronze sword perhaps 30 centimeters long, 12 inches long. The skeleton was 3,500 years old. And we began to speculate that it could have been one of the warriors of Joshua, one of the warriors of that mighty band who conquered the promised land, its mighty fortresses, its warlike people, with just such tiny bronze swords 30 centimeters long. Oh, Ayalahim Dam, oh, they had guts, those warriors. But then I thought of the passage in the book of Joshua, which tells how after the war was over, after Joshua had captured the kings of Jerusalem, the king of Hebron, the king of Yarmuth, the king of Lachish, the king of Eglon, he found it yet needful to gather his generals and the highest officers together, Ktzinei Anshei Milchama, and to say to them, Al tiru v'al techatu, be not afraid, be not faint-hearted. Now this was after the war, mind you. The battle was won, the land was theirs, and now Joshua commands courage. Because Joshua, the great student of Moses, was not only a great general, but a Jewish leader, and he well knew that Chazak v'Amatz, be strong and of good courage, is as necessary to the people of Israel in time of peace as it is in time of war, because we always face that great battle of Judaism's survival. So said Moshe Dayan. How well these words apply to us today. We have no right to be afraid. Not afraid of Arab terrorists, nor of the countries that have made with them common cause. Not afraid of United Nations, nor of anti-Semitism throughout the world. Not afraid of ignorance if we join in the struggle to light the Torah lamp to dispel the darkness of ignorance. Not afraid of assimilation, with great tenacity we'll overcome even that. John Kennedy once said, no generation can pay the price history demands of it with the sacrifice of a previous generation. We're all called upon to make our own sacrifices. What is the greatest fear we ought to have? Not of outside enemies, but of enemies within. When God said, be not afraid, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, he was speaking to the faithful few who faced the entirely hostile world. But today, we have our Edgar Bronfmans writing op-ed editorials in the New York Times, calling on our people to make overtures to the PLO, calling in effect on Begin to capitulate with the PLO. Surely of this we should be afraid? No. Not even of this. This too we shall overcome. Even of this, O Jacob, you have no right to be afraid. Even in spite of the Bronfmans, in spite of the Goldmans, in spite of all of them, we have no right to be afraid. Al tiro avdi Yaakov. Al tiro avdi